to segue, but still the same topic. So we both live tweeted the debate. It was really, I found it extremely entertaining. I kind of just want to know your thoughts of the debate. I heard some tweets, but kind of like now that it's been a few days past, what do you, just the whole thing, what do you come away with watching that debate?
Well, first off, I've been watching every debate on the national level for the presidential election, so all the primaries, all the presidential debates, since the 2004 election.
Yeah.
And of every single debate I've seen, this one was far and away the best.
Yeah, I agree with that. I watched a lot of them myself. Yeah, this was definitely the best one.
Like, when I saw, like, some, like, social media response being like, that wasn't a real debate. And my only response to that is, you must not watch political debates, because that was as close to a real debate as we've gotten in this country in recent memory. I thought it was fascinating. And here I'm also probably going to surprise a lot of people. I actually kind of thought Fox News did a kind of fantastic job of moderating it. I was really surprised at some of the questions and how tough they were directed at some of the candidates.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed that there were a few candidates, Rubio being one specific, that they singled out for only getting softball questions. But they really fucking grilled Trump.
Yeah.
They really fucking grilled Bush. They grilled Christie. They grilled, like, they really asked, like, kind of good questions. And you don't really see that in primary debates at all.
No. No, you don't.
The very fact that the moderators even said at one point you didn't answer the question was just completely astounding.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting too, because you just have this great phenomenon with Trump as well. It's like, you know, I think he was a big reason for the ratings, and you have all these nine guys, and you have, I mean, it's crazy, and then you have the seven people before that, and
I watched both rounds.
And I don't know. I mean, it's gonna be. I have a feeling it will be very similar. If they pick certain people, I think it'll be very similar to 2000. I joked with you on Twitter. I have like kind of a dead zone way of predicting candidates. I just get this feel that they either will probably want Carly or Rubio as VP, because they want to win. They got to win Florida and Ohio. Like, that's the thing. A lot of people don't understand. It's really good. It's going to come down to six states. And
yes.
And I just don't, I think, I have this weird feeling that Kasich from Ohio will actually get the nod. I don't think they want Bush. I just disagree
with you on Kasich.
Yeah.
I really don't think he's going to make it very far.
Do you think he's not conservative enough or he just doesn't have the stuff?
I just don't think he's kind of like win the primary presidential material.
I actually
have pulled up right now for the record, for anyone listening, it is currently August 9th, so who knows what has changed since then. But I actually have on my computer right now pulled up the current polls, and after the debate, I'm sorry, how do you pronounce his last name, John?
Kasich? Yeah.
Kasich, he's currently polling at 2% after the debate. Like, it was not a bump for him.
No, that's true. That's a good point. I just have a feeling, though. I don't know. I mean, I've been right all these times, so it's like eventually I have to be wrong. But I do think Rubio or Florina will be VP. I just think strategically they will. But I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to watch, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Trump can really survive all this time, but
he's doing good now, which actually, after seeing his performance in the debate, people, like, he was booed at the debate.
Yeah.
Which also, I can't recall ever seeing that happen to a candidate, that the candidate himself was repeatedly booed.
Yeah.
But he went up in the polls after the debate.
He did.
I actually thought when I was watching it that Trump's winning this. Trump is actually doing genius political moves because he wasn't speaking to any of the candidates.
No.
He wasn't speaking to anyone in that auditorium. He wasn't speaking to Fox News. He was speaking to everyone that he knew was going to be watching clips of this later.
That's true.
And
that's
without
a
doubt, he came across as the most assured,
yes,
the most well-spoken, the most witty, the most off the cuff, the most human, in like every single way that really pulls people in through primary debates, he won.
And he has to only win. I mean, that's the thing too with primaries. I mean, honestly, I mean, this is basically the heart, the people you want to get are older white people at the end of the day. And I mean, he is definitely, they love him. I mean, so right now, I mean, the polls do show that. He's the anti-immigrant, all this weird stuff he's decided to use, I don't know. Like, people on the right are loving it.
It's playing very well with the Republicans.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't think he can keep it up.
No, I don't think so either.
I think either my personal predictions.
Yeah, I'm curious to know, who do you think will win out of this? Who will be president and VP? What is your prediction right now?
For the Republicans?
Yes.
Well, I thought you meant who in the final election. The Republicans, I'm willing to, I agree with you 100%. What's her name? Katie or
Carly? Carly, yeah.
Carly Filona. Filonia?
Florina. Florina, I think it is. Yeah.
But I'm convinced she's going to be the VP.
Yeah.
Which actually terrifies me because she's like some unholy merging of Nancy Reagan and Tipper Gore.
mean, that's scary.
Look at her and listen to her. That's exactly.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Who are
you're
two
right.
people I just immensely despise.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of the actual nomination, for the presidential nomination, my money would personally be on Bush, Rubio, or Cruz. I think that they're the ones that are going to get, at some point, they're going to have something happen in the campaign that one of them's just going to get propelled.
Then Rubio. Then I just think Rubio's going to get it. I just don't think they're going to vote for Bush. And Cruz is too crazy. I think they're just, he's not very likable either, except for like a really right wing. I think it's Rubio. I mean, that was kind of my gut. I was kind of like, I think Rubio's going to get it. He's Hispanic. They have to win some kind of Hispanic vote, and they need to win Florida. Yeah, I can agree with Rubio. I've said it's going to be Rubio or Kasich. Those are my predictions, so.
Rubio would be the best candidate,
yes,
in terms of someone that could actually win an election.
Yes.
But that's the thing, like, with
the primary, who knows?
Trump being so high in the polls, if he wins, that's literally just handing the election to the Democrats.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
There is absolutely no way that Trump, and I'll also go in with this, Jeb Bush as well, since Jeb Bush's whole thing during the debates was, I'm not my brother.
Yeah, it's not going to fly.
If either one of them wins the nomination,
they're done.
It's just straight up over for the Republicans. They don't even remotely stand a shot.
No.
And really, quite frankly, I think this election season right now is who's going to win the Democratic primaries.
Yeah.
I don't really think the Republicans stand a chance at winning a national election with this lineup of people.
I think Rubio is the only one that has a shot.
He chose to run.
Yeah, I think Rubio is the only one that has a shot. I don't think could work. Who do you think in the Democrat? I mean, I'm kind of like, I just think Hillary's going to win, but you never know. You never know. Who are you thinking?
I honest to God don't know.
Yeah.
I know the talking point is that Hillary is guaranteed the win, except it seems that everyone's forgetting the fact that she's already run for president before.
True.
And lost. I don't think she's as much of a shoe-in as people assume. There's Bernie Sanders, which obviously a lot of people really like talking about. Personally, I feel very lukewarm on him.
I do as well. I think that's a lot of shit. I'm with you.
I'm not into the whole Bernie Sanders
camp. I'm not either.
I think it's bullshit.
Yeah. I think it's just idealism. I think it's just a lot of people's idealism, and he kind of taps into that. And it's kind of a certain sect of people. I mean, it's weird because I'm friendly with, like, a lot of black people could give a fuck about Bernie Sanders, but I noticed a lot of the white, like, educated white voters are loving Bernie Sanders, but I don't see that.
You know who else that same Democrat?
What's that?
Who else that same demographic loved? Howard Dean.
Yeah, it's the same. He's from Vermont as well. I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't know who else besides him. I mean, I don't see. My prediction is Hillary as president and then Jim Webb as vice president, just because he's for Virginia. I mean, I'm just thinking of pure strategic. They're like, okay, well, let's get, you know. But my thing with Hillary is the Iraq War. I still think that rubs a lot of people the wrong way, and that's what gave Barack, I think, the election. It was just her vote for that.
Yeah, I also, like, it's another Clinton. Like, yeah. Do we really want dynasties existing in the United States? I think we're smart enough as a country for that not to happen. At least, yeah. I hope we are.
But we'll see.
Though there's also a lot of talk, as of this time when we're doing this interview, to anyone listening, this hasn't been announced yes or no yet, that Joe Biden is looking to run.
Yeah. That actually could, who knows? You know, Joe Biden, if he doesn't put his foot in his mouth, he's a very good politician. He's very likable. So I don't know. That's a possibility.
I have to admit, I like Joe Biden.
Yeah, he's
and
cool.
When I say that, I'm not referring to policies or political viewpoints.
No.
I just think he's kind of a cool dude,
yeah.
In all honesty.
On a side note.
He is like super amusing guy.
The greatest thing ever, one of my favorite like just political satire things was, do you remember The Onion doing like the Joe Biden thing? Like where they'd cover Joe Biden, like the fake, the Onion version of Joe Biden. Do you remember that?
Yes, I know exactly.
Oh, so fucking brilliant. I love like Joe's like washing his muscle car, and then he's like meeting girls at the Hampton or like at a ski resort. Like, it's just fucking brilliant. I love The Onion.
My favorite recent Joe Biden story is that on the day that the Supreme Court ruled that gay marriage was legalized in this country, Joe Biden apparently ran around the White House wearing a rainbow flag as a cape, high-fiving everyone that he passed.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, that just sounds awesome.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. I've always liked Joe Biden. He's a cool dude, yeah. So who knows? Who knows?
I just imagine also, like, Obama sitting in the Oval Office and his door open, and he just sees Joe Biden running past wearing a rainbow flag cape, giggling to himself, and Obama just shaking his head and being like, fucking John. Like, God, fucking Joe.
Yeah.
God damn it. Now, do you know why he's considering running? This is actually, like, really...
I really don't know. I've not followed up on Joe Biden. I've heard this, but I don't know the reasons behind it.
So, recently, and I don't know the details about why this happened, but recently his son died.
Yes.
And apparently his son's told him that his dying wish was that his father run for president.
Wow.
So, that's like fucking heavy shit.
That's heavy right there, man. That talks to heartstrings. Damn.
And that's why he's only just talking about it now and not in the earlier time when everyone else was planning their presidential campaigns.
Huh.
That this is kind of, I just find that very, very interesting. And I think at the very least, he might just be looking to get into the primaries and argue issues that would have been important to, like, his son and make sure they're spoken about.
Yeah.
It seems to be, like, a memorial presidential campaign,
yeah.
Which is a really odd thing.
Yeah, that is. That is. Huh.
But I am also very disappointed over, like, how small the Democratic field is.
It's lousy.
A conversation between, about Clinton and Sanders, and it's like, that's just pathetic.
That is really sad. I mean, there's really nobody else. Yeah. So I mean, you have all these Republicans. Most of them are fucking crazy, but you have a few that I think are actually electable. And we don't really have. I don't think there's a lot of people that really dislike Hillary. I mean, they don't want another Clinton. I think there's no way in hell Bernie Sanders will get elected. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting times. As like somebody who like really loves to follow politics, this is gonna be interesting how this all, you know, comes about.
Two scenarios I see being very likely. Now, like, we came up with the scenario with like Rubio winning the nomination for the Republicans, but let's say voters as a whole go different ways, because I could see the Democratic primary voters being very similar to the Republican primary voters just on the national mood right now. Mm-hmm. And how we were talking about earlier that both the right and the left are acting in very, very similar fashions right now. And if it goes down that way with primary voting, I could see there being two versus situations, Trump versus Sanders or Bush versus Clinton. And wow. In both those scenarios, wow. The Republicans don't even stand a chance.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders could be fucking – that's insane to me. Wow. I don't know, actually. Because
if both sides go anti-establishment, anti-money, which could be very likely, we would then have like Trump versus Sanders.
You know, but I have to say this in all fair. I actually, in a weird way, I don't think that's a guarantee that Bernie Sanders beats Trump, as fucking crazy as it sounds. Because I noticed that like a lot of like the white, like I think of my Aunt Patty. She's like, you know, middle class white lady. She lives in, you know, like West Palm Beach. She's kind of like a swing voter. I don't know. Like, she's like small business person. I don't know if she'd vote for Bernie Sanders. She might be like, I hate Trump, but I don't know. That's crazy. That's really crazy to think about.
I agree with you, though, that, like, Sanders, while as much as, like, the like, educated, white, liberal, democratic base loves him, I don't think he would actually win on his own merits. I think he would win over protest Bush votes against Trump. God, yeah. I said Bush in there for some reason. But I think he would win protest votes against Trump. And also, Trump has been, especially with all of his discussion on illegal immigration.
Yeah, he would lose all the Spanish vote. The Republican
Party has been desperately attempting to court the Latino vote because they know they are losing that demographic. And if you have someone who's saying such racist shit
and sexist
about Latinos as Trump, you could actually see Texas go blue. This is no joke.
Yeah, Texas, that's a good point. I didn't think about Texas. Yeah, you're right.
And it's Latino population keeps getting larger, and if the Republican nominee goes out of his way to alienate Latino voters, not only will that cost them swing states, that will cost them Republican strongholds.
You know, you made a point earlier about Rubio being like, he got no tough questions. I just have a feeling the Republican...
They literally asked him, what do you think about God and veterans?
Yeah.
That was his last question.
And I just have this gut feeling that they're just like, this is the Republican establishment. Like, this is the guy. If we have any shot in hell, this is the guy. Cause I think they want to win. I would imagine. So I think I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to go with you on Rubio. I just think that's, unless Donald Trump like really somehow pulls it out. I think the Republicans, I think the Koch brothers are also going to get behind him. They don't want Bush. They know that's a losing ticket. Yeah, okay, Rubio. But this could be crazy the next couple of weeks. So
it seems like the best. It seems like the most like intelligent choice. But I just want to point out he's currently tied at fourth place.
Yeah, with no, he is
8% along with Carly. I'm never going to be able to pronounce her last name.
I believe it's Florina, like Florina. So it's like an Italian name. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just terrible at name pronunciation.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's just one of my problems.
I'm with you. So.
But he's currently tied with her.
Yeah.
At only.
But it's a long ways away.
Really? Oh yeah, the first
The
first actual primary election isn't until I believe April.
I
could be wrong on that, but I think it's April.
Yeah, it's April.
So. So we got a long fucking way to go.
It's a long ways
to
go.
Which is also why I don't think Trump is going to be able
to sustain this momentum. He can't sustain this momentum. So, well, man, all right. I'm going to start wrapping things up. This has been a lot of fun. This has been one of my favorite episodes. Do you got anything you'd like to plug? Anything through Deadeyed or Eraserhead or any of your own work? Let's talk some book stuff real quick.
Oh, shit, you had me all wrapped up in politics and I wasn't even thinking about anything book-related. Just plug a few things that perhaps your listeners may enjoy.
Yeah.
Some recent releases that I love the shit out of. We just released the Eraserhead Amazing Punk Stories.
Yes, I bought that. I bought that. It.
Oh, you bought that?
I bought that. I haven't read it yet, but I bought it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool. Short story collection where the author takes different pulp fiction tropes like science fiction, western, fantasy, spy, horror,
yeah.
and rewrites them using all punk characters.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. It is a really cool idea.
And in terms of like Dead Eye Press, what I've been releasing lately, one book that I keep trying to promote because I guarantee people are going to fucking love it, and it just hasn't quite found its audience yet.
Yes, dude. Oh, I owe that a review. That was fucking brilliant. I read that a while. I'm really apologize because that was a good fucking book. Because that was like Howard Stern fucking. It's like it was like a tribute to Howard, and I love Howard Stern. And it was pitch it. It's great. You'll pitch it better than I. It's a great story.
For anyone listening, if you think zombies are done and there's nothing to be done with zombies, WZMB by Andre Duza proved you wrong. It takes the premise of the first radio show after the zombie apocalypse. The humans have beat back the zombies and they're starting to rebuild cities. And it's about the first radio call-in show after the apocalypse. And so the whole book is a radio transcript of different shows about what's happening as humanity rebuilds itself, complete with advertisements such as what new types of businesses would spring up in the zombie-infested world, and how would humanity use basic forms of communication through entertainment as ways to organize itself and spread ideas. It's honestly like the most intelligent.
It's fucking great, people. You guys know me. I don't bullshit. This book was really fucking great. From the moment I saw, I think it was like a Homeland Security sticker, like on the front,
the first page of the
and
book.
I was
yep.
just like, oh fuck yeah! I have to say, and I think I talked to you. I think even about this before this book even called me out. You told me a little. I'm like, I love this idea. Will there be an audiobook for this?
You know. We've actually never even brought up that idea. As much as that makes sense, that's never even occurred to us. I think I need to talk to Duza about this now, about how
really
we can do
you?
This.
I mean, and like, how would you it's use? Obvious. Would you use multiple people, or just have one person be the reader? Like, how would that be done?
I think you would have to have every person, like every character in the story, played by a different person. Like
yeah.
all the hosts, different people.
That would be
all
fun
the
to
callers,
record.
Different people.
Yeah.
Oh man, we have so much fun with like cameos and
because
yeah. people only appear very briefly just from calling in about what they have to say.
Yeah, that would be really cool. That would be really freaking cool. All right. Anyways,
and one final thing that I it won the Wonderland Award last year, but I'm still pimping it because it's one of my absolute favorite Bizarro books, Time Pimp by Garrett Cook.
Yes, Time Pimp is a fucking cool book. Yes, I love Garrett.
It won the Wonderland Award for Best Novel, and what it's basically about is it's a Doctor Who parody, but imagine the Doctor traveling through time and space to meet up with historically important figures so he can get them laid so they can do the things that they need to do.
Oh, I have to tell you something. This is great. So I get an email from like an erotica writer, and they wrote a book called Time Bangers. And they
really?
Yeah, they wrote a book, and I'm like, have you read, you know, a friend and you know, Bizarro writer I like, Garrett Cook, and they're like, they read the book as a way to research. They're these really smart girls. I'm telling you.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's like I haven't got to Reddit yet. Like they wanted, you know, me to give a review. I felt like I'm just so behind on reviews, people. All people listening to this, I'm sorry. I'm just swamped. But yeah, they sent me, and I'm like, have you read? And they're like, oh yeah, we checked it. It was like one of the books we read when we got the idea. It's like these two, they're like these really cool nerdy girls. So it's what is the name? It's like something the Tudor. There's a funny name to it, but yeah, Time Bangers. So I guess time. Yeah, Garrett Cook's book inspired the Time Bangers. So yeah, it's an
That's
influential book.
That's fucking amazing. Yeah, yeah.
I thought you'd appreciate that. Yeah.
I edited that book. Yeah. And just Garrett just fucking blew me away when he sent in the original first draft manuscript. Like, basically, the only things we changed were just like you know, basic typo spelling. Continuity type of stuff, just really basic things. But like when he first sent me that book, it just completely blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I thought he just completely upped the Bizarro game and Bizarro writing with that title. And that's now the book that I kind of recommend to everyone if they want to kind of see what this whole Bizarro thing is. Check out Time by Garrett Cook.
Yeah, and I would say too also, because I guess I can say it because he announced it on Facebook. He's doing a horror novel with you now. Is that correct?
Yes, he is.
And I love this idea because like I've read a lot of Garrett's stuff and he's so good at like atmosphere and just fucked up like chilling stuff. So I'm really excited about this. Just as somebody who's read his work, you know, I read Murderland, and that's gonna be cool. I just have a good feeling about that.
The book is, I can talk about it. The book is currently titled A God of Hungry Walls.
Mm.
Now, I say currently...
That's a Garrett title book, yeah.
Because we're still going... It's not actually officially released yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're still going through publishing stuff with it. So you know how that stuff is.
Yeah.
Can be prone to change at last minute. But currently, it's called that by Garrett Cook. I would compare it to actually... WZMB by Andre Duza, that just when people say like there's nothing original can be done with zombies, it seems Garrett wrote a haunted house novel, and it seems like the haunted house genre is completely played out, except he did what I've never seen anyone else ever do. The entire book, 100% of the book, is told from the perspective of the house.
Yeah, I remember him saying that.
From the perspective of the haunting.
It sounds really cool, man.
Yeah. It's really brilliant. It works really well. It's fucking nasty as all.
Yeah.
That. It's far and away the
imagine
most
so.
Violent,
I know Garrett. Yeah.
Mean thing that Garrett's ever written. It's mean. It's really mean.
And I like that because I know Garrett has that side, and I'm like, I as much as I love like some of the Bizarro stuff he's done, like I'm really excited to see that. Cause I've seen, you know, or his earlier stuff. It's like that. I'm really excited. I'm just like as a fan. That's going to be really cool.
Is it all right if I tell a quick funny story about
it? Yeah. Go right ahead.
So, Garrett sent me the manuscript of it. And when I was reading through the manuscript, I recognized a lot of things in it. Because when Garrett Cook, he currently lives in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And when he first moved here, he spent, it was about 4 or 5 months crashing on my couch until he was able to find
That's correct.
A place of his own.
Yes.
So we spent kind of like 4 or 5 months living together, and see buddy system at work here. Tying it all back
there it
to
is. There's the buddy system once again.
We would spend the evenings. We'd spend many evenings drinking. You know, watching horror movies, talking about horror, and talking about the type of shit that we'd like to see in horror, and coming up with like these crazy ideas of extreme things that would be so fucked up that we've never seen done before. And a lot of those extreme fucked up things are in the book. And I noticed, though, about halfway through the book, the way he was describing the house, I'm like, wait a minute, I think this is my house.
And then I
started paying attention to the layout of the house in the book really clearly, and I'm like, this is laid out exactly like my house. And there's even a breakdown that I live with several housemates in a big house, and he has that detail like in the book, that several different housemates who like rent the place living together. And it's the same male-female breakdown. I live with my girlfriend. One of the characters has their significant other in the house. And I, after I accepted the book from Garrett, him and I were hanging out drinking one time. And I'm like, okay, I'm a little embarrassed to ask this because I'm just not sure if I read the book close enough. But I was like, did you base the house in the book off of my house, and Garrett just froze up, and he was like, oh my god, that never occurred to me, but it is your house. He had just did the exact layout of the house.
That sounds something
like he started working on the book while he was crashing on our couch without ever even giving it a conscientious thought.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like a really funny thing.
Yeah, that's Garrett. That's definitely he's got a brilliant mind. He really I'm not like even trying to kiss
ass. He's a fucking genius.
Yeah, I got to work with him once. He edited a collection I did called Demons in the TV, and it was just like there's a couple things like I got like wrong, like just like obscure metal band stuff. And he's just like, oh wait, it's this. I'm like, holy shit, you just saved my ass. But yeah, no, Garrett, yeah, he's a unique talent. He definitely is a unique talent. But yeah, I'm stoked for that. I'm stoked. It's I feel like with just literature is like in a good place right now. I actually really I'm feeling very optimistic about literature. Bizarro, I think it's you know and horror. I think Bizarro and horror are in a really good place. After going to a certain conference, I'm not going to name it, but it was very literary. I'm saying genre is in a very healthy place. That's all I will say. Genre is in a Bizarro horror, very healthy, good place. I'll just say that. So, yeah.
In terms of genre stuff, I agree completely with you, and I would even stretch it beyond fiction. I know people like to view the past with rose-colored glasses, but I honestly think that the past several years for all media, for all mediums,
yes.
Genre shit has been as good as it has
absolutely.
Ever been, if
absolutely.
Not better.
I think we're in a really great time. I feel very inspired. Like, there's so much good stuff to read. I mean, my biggest complaint is
Watch, play, listen to, go see. Like,
yeah,
it just doesn't end. And if
there's
someone
listening,
like, there's no good shit nowadays, you're just straight up not fucking looking.
Yeah, you really aren't. You really aren't, so. All right, man. I'm gonna, on that note, because that's a good, nice note.
I think that's a great ending point.
Yeah. So, all I'm gonna say, I'll plug real quick, Ravis by Reagansaurus by Mandy DeSandra will be coming out very soon, and also we'll have, there will be finally a Crocoduck t-shirt. I think he's designed one of yours, Sam McKenna. So there'll be a...
Oh, yeah, Sam McKenna. Yeah, he has great shirts. Yeah.
There'll be a Can't Pray the Gay Away t-shirt. So just keep a lookout for that.
Oh, my God, that sounds amazing.
It's pretty awesome. I got to just see it. I saw it right before we did this. So I'm really stoked, everybody. So, Jeff, dude, thank you so much for coming on. This was fucking fun. This was, like, one of my favorites.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
It's a special one, too, because it's, like, podcast number 50. I'm not really big into numbers, but it's, like, you know, I went from YouTube to being on a network.
50 already?
I've done... I did, like... 25 on YouTube, and I did 30 on YouTube, like, for 10 minutes, and I finally, like, started doing more. I got on a network, I stopped, and now I'm finally doing them again. So, yeah, this has been, like, a cult thing, so thank you for sharing this with me. It's a 50, it's a big deal, you know?
Hey, congratulations,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, man, thank
Holy
you.
Shit, just, you know, like, being able to have, like, 50, that's incredible.
Yeah, so... next week will be Danger Slater. That's the pick. So I'm going back to guests. I'm going back to guests again until like Rachel Dolezal or something like that happens again, where I can just spout bullshit for a half hour. So Danger Slater will be on air. Thanks again, Jeff Burke. And
thank you so much.
All right. Peace.